coming up in this episode.
We've had a lot of ghosts in our books in this podcast, haven't we?
Yeah, I don't want to keep count because that might encourage people to send us more.
We're here for just this brief shining moment, and then when we're gone, we're really gone.
I'm not going to tell you who the ghost is.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge.
All right, Orlando, I understand you have a short book for me today.
Yeah, I read a short book for this episode because the next episode from me is going to be a very, very long book.
All about the average. Okay, so I think I know which book you're talking about, though.
Yeah, that one.
All right, well, we'll get to the heavy brick in a few weeks, but tell me about the much lighter book you have for me today.
It's called Broken Things by Laurie Duff, a writer from Loganville, east of Atlanta. It clocks in at 105 pages in book form, or 2 hours 42 minutes as an audiobook, which is how I experienced it. And it's a very cute, inspirational story about grief and loss and loneliness, and it involves a ghost.
Okay, so perfect for spooky season, then.
Spooky season. You know, we got the ghost. It's always going to come back in the themes of literary devices.
We've had a lot of ghosts in our books in this podcast, haven't we?
Yeah, I don't want to keep count because that might encourage people to send us more.
I mean, I'm always down for a good ghost story, but so where's the book's title come from, Broken Things?
The book's title comes from the main character in the book, a woman named Tracy, and I'll let Laurie Duff share a little bit more about her.
Tracy is a widow, a young widow. She's only in her 30s, and her husband died very young, and when he died, she just kind of holed up in her house, and she had enough money from the life insurance that she didn't need to work, and so she didn't, and she just really didn't interact with anybody.
And so in her widowhood, Tracy quit her job as a secretary and became an artist. And it's the kind of art that she produces with found objects, you know, bits of things. As she takes a walk, she finds things that people might consider trash, like coins, broken glass, and she turns them into figures, into furniture, into objects that hang on the wall and other things.
And so she's lonely, right? I mean,
I don't get the sense that she's lonely. I get the sense that she's okay with being alone, that she fills her life with art and books and movies. I mean, haven't you known people who just always seem to be perfectly content, but they're single?
Sure. It just, in the wake of a big loss like that, I imagine being alone with your grief that long is difficult.
Well, I mean, I know people that they don't seem to go out. They don't seem to have many friends. I check in on them, but they're happy with their gardening and their art and drinking wine out on the front porch.
I'm guessing I knew what Tracy was like before her husband died, I might have a better sense of, like, how is this really impacting her? Do you see before her husband died at all?
No, we don't. So that is a good question. But Tracy is content in her creative bubble and seems to be mentally with it until she goes to a storage unit one day to auction for a delinquent storage unit customer's possessions. You know, the kind.
Oh, yeah, the storage auction wars or whatever.
The story auction. So she goes to this storage auction. And among the items in this one storage unit that she gets is someone's ashes.
Okay, here's the ghost.
Yes, this is where we get the ghost. You got it.
So strange things start happening once the cremains show up in the house.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
The wind starts to move through the house. There, a glass of water falls over. Objects are moved.
Doors slamming, windows opening and closing.
That kind of thing.
Okay.
She starts having very vivid dreams. And even more unusual for her, she befriends someone. She allows someone to bring a little joy into her life, a woman named Maria. And here's where I'll let you know that the author, Laurie Duff, got the idea for this story by reading an article about a storage unit auction that did sell someone's cremains in just the way that I just described. Only that's where the article ends. So Lori picks it up and makes a whole story about it, and a very delightful story.
My parents both passed away in recent years, my mom in the very beginning of COVID and my dad last September. And so that just loss has been very much on my mind. And I think that's why, you know, people send me stuff all the time, but I think that's why that article kind of rang something in me that made me want to see, well, you know, I thought that that's so sad, because whenever anyone dies, there's somebody who's crying and grieving and feeling this hole in their life. And somewhere between that bit of despair and however many years later, this person just becomes this just trash. They just something abandoned that no one cares about anymore. And that thought just struck me, that we're here for just this brief shining moment, and then when we're gone, we're really gone. We're really gone. And it's possible that our memories can be abandoned just as well as our bodies. And I wanted to explore that.
So these ashes come into Tracy's house, weird things start happening, and Tracy meets Maria, right? What's going on with Maria? Is she main character?
Yes, she is. There are actually three main characters by the time we get to the middle of the story. There's Tracy, Maria, and a third character that I'll get to in just a bit. But Maria, I can't remember her age or profession or if those things are even mentioned in the story, but Maria literally bumps into Tracy at a store. The two strike up a conversation, and it ends up that Maria really wants Tracy to teach her how to make art.
Oh, okay. So why doesn't Maria just go to art class, though, as opposed to, like, asking Tracy to do it? She could watch some YouTube, tune into some Bob Ross.
I don't know, but Maria is persistent. She's like, when are you going to teach me art? When are you going to teach me art, you know? And eventually, they start making art together.
They both recognized something in each other. And the story's written from Tracy's perspective, so we don't really get to see what Maria thinks. But Tracy sees Maria, and she's just kind of stunned, like, I know this person. I don't know how I know this person. And she's having this weird day because she's just basically incorporated a ghost into her being, and she has all these thoughts and feelings and tastes that are not her own, and she doesn't know what to do with it. And she sees Maria and just instantly recognizes her as someone important, but she can't quite figure out who she is. And it never really says in the book, but I like to think that Maria recognized something in Tracy too.
So Tracy and Maria start making art together. They pour wine together. They eat. They'll talk about their lives. So Tracy's kind of like doing everything that she used to do, except now there's Maria. And to the best of my recollection, they don't interact anywhere but in Tracy's home or Tracy's home studio. But now Tracy has a friend.
Oh, okay. And so I'm struck by the phrase, incorporate the ghost into her, right? That's what she said. And does that mean that the ghost has somehow influenced this relationship between Tracy and Maria?
Yes, we can definitely say that the ghost is responsible for what's going on.
Okay, the way you're saying that makes me think Maria is a ghost. Is Maria
the
ghost?
I'm not going to tell you who the ghost is. No, I'll tell you who the... Maria is not the ghost.
Oh, okay.
The ghost is the third character, a woman named Evelyn.
Okay.
And Evelyn, has a whole story of her own, a whole back life of her own, told over several chapters. And again, I'm not going to reveal too much about it, because I think that's the whole, like, heart of the story, is how Evelyn relates to Tracy and Maria. And like I said, it's very short book.
So. Okay. And this is not going to end up being kind of a ripoff of The Sixth Sense.
So I have to admit, I've never seen The Sixth Sense. So.
Oh, okay. I mean, the spoiler of that is, like, he was dead the whole time. Like, he didn't know he was dead.
No, Evelyn, okay. Evelyn appears to Tracy in her dreams.
Okay.
And then Evelyn starts talking to Tracy. So, yeah. Evelyn is not a physical character.
Okay, so this is not a ripoff of that. It's just a straight up new ghost story. I love it. So someone can read this essentially and get to the heart of it in pretty much no time.
Yeah, like I said, the whole thing is like 2 hours on audio tape.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think you get to it very quickly. And the heart of the story is very poignant, very personal. I didn't really ask Lori about what she thought the book's takeaway messages were. Maybe I should have, but sort of the takeaways that I took were things like, you know, be honest and authentic, love and accept people for who they are, whatever burdens you have in your life, lay them down. And most of all, take emotional risks. Come out of your shell and stop hiding.
I think it's Bambi, the beginning of Bambi, the cartoon, where spring comes and all the animals come out rubbing their eyes and like they're all waking up from this long, deep sleep. And that's kind of how I felt when we were able to emerge from our houses after COVID. And I think that's how Tracy feels emerging from her house after this almost decade of mourning.
And at the end of the book, I can say that everyone's broken pieces are mended. And we learn that Tracy, Marie, and the ghost are all connected. And the resolution takes all of them coming together, like it never could have happened individually, which I guess is another takeaway of the story. But as the way the story spins out, you don't know that right away. It's just a wonderfully written story.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, too, since she mentioned COVID, if there's a statement in the book, too, about COVID and its effect on us.
I did ask her about COVID, and yes, she said that the isolation of COVID weighed on her, like it did for many people. But really, the book is about, as the title suggests, the mending of broken things. And here's Lori talking about Tracy.
She talks a little bit about, in the book, about the Japanese art of kintsugi. And I think that's so lovely, to take a broken thing and fill in the cracks with, in Japan, they'd fill it with something precious like gold, and make the fixed object more beautiful than the original. And it's considered to have more character than the original. And I think that's true of people, that if you have if you just sail smoothly your whole life, you're not going to have that much to talk about.
So is this spooky? Like, are you kept on the edge of your seat with the way this is written? Like,
I am kept
on the scary novel? Or
I am kept on the edge of my seat, but not for being scary or
not
something
bad's
going to happen. I want to know, who is this person, Evelyn? What's their story? How are they all connected? And the ghost is a very friendly and helpful presence.
I see. Okay, so a literary novel with elements of the supernatural, but not a spooky ghost story.
No.
Yeah, okay. So what gives this book the narrative edge?
It's cute. It's cute, it's quick, it's got a message, and it's got a ghost. I love it.
Wonderful. All right, well, the book is called Broken Things by Lori Duff. Orlando, thanks so much for telling me about it.
All right, happy to do it.
That was great. What do you think?
Boo.
Boo.
Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrative-edge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB news podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.